today. He is in California. For those that aren't aware, he's leading some seminars for Seventh-day Adventists, former Seventh-day Adventists. So just want to remember him in your prayers as you think about him. He'll be returning on Tuesday, and just that God would do something incredible through his ministry there. Also, just want to remind everybody, this coming Saturday is our winter blues party. Now, all of us, it's the time of year where it's dark and dreary and yucky outside. So why not come, have fun with your Hempfield family, and there's a possibility, it's not guaranteed yet, but there may be somebody from Arthur Murray Dance Studio coming to show us how to dance. So there's all kinds of information in your bulletin about it. If you could call the office or send an email or something so we have an idea of how many people are coming so that we know what to count on, we would really appreciate that. As some of you know, we started a series last week. It's a 40-day spiritual journey. And what we were looking at is Lent we typically give up. But what we want to do this time, instead of giving up, is to gain something. So that's what this spiritual journey is about. There are booklets out in the lobby, if you didn't get one last week, that you can pick up. And it's a daily devotional, a study guide to walk through Scripture. So I encourage you to do that. I just want to review a little bit about what we talked about last week. Pastor Greg shared, so far that we've learned that faith plus nothing equals eternal life. We can't do anything to obtain eternal life other than have faith in Jesus Christ. But out of that eternal life comes good works. James 2:17 tells us, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So our faith without works is going to be dead. There's not going to be anything that comes out of that. He also shared with us that true faith is a relationship that transforms. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to transform us into the person that he desires us to be. And out of that, we talked about virtue last week. Virtue or goodness is going to be the fruit of that true faith. He said, well, you become what you're connected to. And for me, that really spoke a lot. I become what I'm connected to. If I become connected to God, I'm going to become more like him. And we spoke about virtue or goodness. We discovered that virtue or right actions flow out of true faith. As we grow in our faith, true actions are going to come out of that. Today we're going to be talking about knowledge, and out of goodness comes knowledge. We're talking about knowledge of God's Word strengthens faith so that more right actions flow. As we understand God's Word, more right actions are going to flow out of that. Our theme for this 40-day is based on 2 Peter 1:5 through 8, and I'm going to read that for you. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're a culture that loves knowledge. I mean, you see there's bookstores all over the place. There's libraries everywhere. The internet gets us any kind of information that we're looking for. TV, we watch the Discovery Channel because we want to learn. We just are a society that's so saturated with learning. And we even play games where we have knowledge. Trivial Pursuit. Gain a lot of knowledge to this, don't we? When you look at the name Trivial Pursuit, and you take that word trivia, we're talking about unimportant matters, meaningless information. But as we play these games, we like to win, don't we? We like to say, boy, I knew a lot, didn't I? So we're going to play a little game here, and I'm going to ask you some questions, some trivia questions. See, if anybody knows the answer, I just want you to shout it out. What 1982 war zone was populated with more penguins than people? Anybody? What was it? Very good. I'm impressed. All right, let's see if we can go 2 for 2. What stratospheric gas is composed of molecules made of 3 oxygen atoms? Very good. Wow. This is a really smart congregation. All right. Let's see if anybody gets this one. What lifetime 338 hitter defended his chubby physique with, I don't see any skinny guys doing what I am doing? Nope. Come on, guys. Tony Gwynn. I am really impressed. Now, we play these games for fun, but if we play these games and we walk away from it winning, what do we say? Boy, I'm really good at that, aren't I? I know a lot of things. I'm a champion at trivia. But what does that mean to us, to be a champion at trivia? When we look at knowledge, knowledge is really important in our lives, isn't it? It's important to know that we don't put our hand on a hot burner, because otherwise we're going to burn ourselves. It's important that we know what side of the road to be driving our car in so that we don't get in an accident. It's important to know when our wife's birthday is or her anniversary. That's really important information. Knowledge can keep us from having to deal with an awful lot of pain and anguish, doesn't it? While our theme for these 40 days is based on 2 Peter 1, 5-8, if you look at the prior verses, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." We look at this, we see that our knowledge of God and Jesus will bring us grace, will bring us peace, bring us everything that we need for life and for godliness. This is what He's telling us. It's going to give us all these things. Does the knowledge that comes out of a game like this, that trivia, does it bring us that kind of promise? If we know those kind of things, does it bring us the promise of grace, of peace, of everything that we need in our life, of godliness? It doesn't. That just says, I'm really good at trivia. I could memorize every one of those trivia cards, but it's not going to do for me what the Word of God can do in my life. But how do we obtain that knowledge? If we're seeking grace and peace and everything else that we need for this life, how do we obtain that? If you would turn with me to Psalms 119, 105, we want to read our scripture for today. What knowledge does mean to us? What does knowledge do for us? True knowledge. Psalms 119, starting at verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." So we look at this, and some of you may remember a song years ago, Amy Grant, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So if you look at this, the psalmist starts out with saying that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But what does that have to do with knowledge? What does that have to do with our knowledge of God? As we look at life, oftentimes we talk about our life being on a journey. It's a path that we kind of follow. But we often don't know what's around the next corner, do we? Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing, but we often don't know. We don't know what's ahead. It could be uphill. We could struggle uphill. It could be a nice, gently sloping pathway that we're on. It could be full of rocks. It could be full of... it could be a nice, level, unobstructed path. But as with any path that we're on, we don't know what's around the next corner. But we have a destination to get to, don't we? We have somewhere that we have to get to. And we need something that's going to guide us on that path. I even thought of times in the middle of the night you have to get up and you don't want to put any lights on. So you kind of feel your way to the bathroom. How many times have you stubbed your toes on something that you know is sitting right there, but because it's unfamiliar in the darkness, we hurt ourselves. We walk into a wall. We bump into the bed, whatever it may be, because it's unfamiliar in the dark. Along the way, we've acquired an awful lot of knowledge on our path. How to drive, how to cook. In school, we learn how to spell. We learn history lessons and on and on. And this information has given us guidance for this life. It's provided us on our pathway. knowledge has saved us probably from a lot of harm, from some really embarrassing situations. It's good to know how to read signs, isn't it? Or to interpret signs that we make sure we go into the right restroom at the mall. Some people still have trouble with that. My wife happened to go in the men's room a couple times. She didn't look at the signs, she just walked in. It's really important to pay attention to signs. It's good to know the laws, isn't it? So that we don't get hauled off to prison because we broke a law. So knowledge is really important in our lives. God's Word works that way in our life. It provides light that's going to illuminate our path. And as we do that, that light is going to show us and give us more about who God is. This knowledge of God is going to strengthen our faith so that right actions flow out of what we do. The whole point of illuminating our path is to get us to a destination. We want to get to where we need to go. But we need something that's going to navigate us along that path so that when it's dark, when it's rough, that we know where we're going. If we don't have a light and we're walking around the woods at night, what's going to happen? Walk into a tree? I mean, there have been reports of people who've just walked in circles for hours because they couldn't see where they were going. Trip over roots, stumps, bushes, whatever's in the way. We need a light that's going to keep us from stumbling. We need something that's going to get us to our destination on the right path so we don't walk off a cliff and get us there safely. Today's scripture is teaching us that God's Word must become the light for our lives. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The teachings involved in our Bible, the Scripture, is going to give us the knowledge that we need to navigate this life that we're in and bring to us grace and peace and everything else that we need for this life. Everything that's contained in this book, we need to grasp and get a hold of because that's going to impact our lives. Now, we can read the Bible and gain all kinds of information, can't we? They even have Bible trivia. We had that, and we always had to use the kids' edition because we couldn't even get the other stuff. But we can gain an awful lot of knowledge from Scripture, can't we? Who begat who, the life of the Bible characters, the life of Jesus. There's a lot of information contained in Scripture that we can get a hold of. But it can't be just knowledge for knowledge's sake. If it's just knowledge, if it's just to say, I know these things, then we really miss the point. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is living and active. That means it's producing. There's something going on there. Plants, they produce fruit, they produce leaves. Humans, animals, they reproduce. They're living and active. What is God's Word producing in your life? Is God's Word living and active in your life? Is God's Word shaping you? Is it bringing life to you? Because it's living, it's active. Hebrews tells us that it will judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Is God's Word cutting away those things in you that shouldn't be there? We think of a surgeon who uses a scalpel. He goes in, he cuts away disease. He takes things out that are harming the body. God's Word is that surgical knife for us that goes in and it takes out those things that shouldn't be in us. So often we look at Scripture and we say, boy, if only so-and-so would read this, they would really get their life together, wouldn't it? But that's not what he's saying here. This is for us. We have to look at Scripture and say, God, what are you teaching me through this? As we travel this path, God needs to move us beyond strictly just knowledge, because knowledge for knowledge's sake doesn't mean anything. Just like that game. If I won that game, what does it mean? I won the game. Big deal. We know our homes, don't we? I mean, we walk through them hundreds and hundreds of times, but when we walk through them at night without light, what happens? It becomes very unfamiliar. It got to feel our way, and sometimes we hurt ourselves. What we thought was familiar now has become very unfamiliar. If God's Word is living and active, then there's a purpose for it, isn't there? The first thing that we should be doing in our lives, that God's Word should be doing in our lives, is leading us to transformation. Scripture is full of instruction. As we look at Scripture, there's a lot of things that we're being instructed. How to worship, how to treat others, how to serve. And it goes on and on. But the point of all of that is not just to keep it up here. The point of it is to be transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It has to be changing us. We've lived in this world, and all the things that have come along our way have impacted us in one way or another, hasn't it? Unfortunately, some of those things haven't been real positive in our lives. This world can be pretty cruel. You think of kids in school and the awful things that other kids say to them. And just as you go throughout your life, these things have become a part of us. But as we take in God's Word, the Holy Spirit's able to get a hold of that. He can get a hold of those things in our lives that are not of God, and He replaces it with truth. And that truth then conforms us into the likeness of Christ. Do you get that? That Word of God transforms us into the likeness of Christ. But as we read in Hebrews, it shows that God's Word penetrates to the soul and the spirit of who we are. If God's Word is penetrating to the soul and the spirit of who we are, then transformation needs to be taking place. The Word of God should be impacting us by giving us an understanding of who God and Jesus are and begin to transform us into their likeness. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." In that scripture, Jesus is God's glory. And the way we are transformed into His likeness is we understand who He is. And the only way we're going to understand that is through His Word. That's going to be revealed to us. We have to start to reflect that Word in our lives, that we reflect who Jesus Christ is. As we start to understand Scripture, we start to read Scripture, that truth starts to displace those things in our lives that have just weighed us down, have held us back, that have held us in bondage. His Word will transform us and shape us into His likeness. And I know that's what I want for me. I want to be transformed into His likeness, because who I am isn't that great of a person. But as God starts to reveal those things to me and starts cutting away at those things that are not of Him, then He starts to shine through who I am. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And the Greek for sanctify is hagias, which means to be set apart for sacred use or to make holy. God's Word is truth that's going to set you apart to make you holy for His use. Our knowledge of who Jesus is will mold us and make us more like Him. That is knowledge that is transformational. His Word, His truth, is going to make us more like Him. We can use Scripture to impress people, can't we? Boy, we can rattle off stuff, people we know, names we've never heard of, rattle off a whole chapter of Scripture. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but is it making you more like Jesus? Those things that you know, are they making you more like Jesus? Or are they just things that are up here that you can rattle off? D.L. Moody said that the Scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. Almost contradicts our culture, doesn't it? We're a culture that loves knowledge, and what he's saying contradicts our culture. The Scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And the question you need to ask yourself is, the Word of God transforming your life? Is it creating something new in you? Is it producing in you? The second thing we want to talk about Scripture, knowledge of Scripture, that it needs to move us to action. As we begin to understand who we are in Christ, our faith begins to deepen and it grows stronger. That process develops in us the character of Christ. and causes us to act out of that. Pastor Greg shared last week, and we reviewed today, faith plus nothing equals eternal life plus good works. The Word of God breathes truth into us. It helps us to understand who God is. God's Word initially brought us to salvation. It brought that new person in us. It penetrated to the deepest part of who we are. It got to the heart and soul of us. And it brought about transformation. But that process doesn't stop there. Once you come to know Christ, that process doesn't end there. It calls us into action. Remember when we said God's Word is living and active? It's producing. It's reproducing. It's showing itself again and again. And we see the compassion that Jesus had for people. All you have to do is read the Gospels and see the heart of Jesus Christ as He looked at people, as He came in contact with people. He healed people. He fed people. He brought people back to life. He had such a heart for people. And we have to have that same heart, that same compassion that Jesus had. Joe Briscoe wrote a book called Can a Busy Christian Develop Her Spiritual Life? And in that book, she was writing about being in a grocery store. And as she was in that store, some of her neighbors were there, and they were talking about her next-door neighbor, whose husband had left her. Now, this woman was in her 50s, so her children were grown. They were gone. Now, her husband left, and she was alone. She had nobody. So she had this dilemma inside of her. Do I go about just doing my own thing, or do I go and connect with this woman? They'd only talked occasionally about the weather, those kind of things. Had never really talked intimately. Driving home, she really felt a sense of God saying, you need to go see her. Now, she fought this because she had her schedule. She had her things to do. So she got home. She went next door, and she knocked on the woman's door. And the woman came, and she said to her, I understand that your husband left, and I wanted to know if there was anything that I could do. And the woman immediately broke down in tears and invited her in. They spent the day together, and she was able to minister to her. That's what God's Word needs to do in our lives, doesn't it? We have schedules, we have busy lives, but sometimes there's a different path that He calls us to go on. He wants us to follow that path. And that Word of God needs to be building that in us, that we are obedient to following that path. As we read earlier from James 2:17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. By failing to follow those instructions that we have in Scripture, what was once living, that life is now cut off. That Word becomes dead because it's not allowing itself to go and reproduce anywhere. That Word becomes dead because we are not listening to what the Word is saying. Our faith is going to be developed through our understanding of who God is, and that understanding is only going to come from His Word. Understanding His Word will then produce the action needed to live out the character of Christ in us. You know, today when you purchase something, almost always it needs assembled. There's always something that has to be put together. Even clothes, a lot of times the buttons are falling off. You've got to re-sew buttons. But if we purchase something and we bring that box in the house and we sit it down and we leave it there, it's useless. We have to take that out of the box, don't we? We have to read the instructions. We have to assemble it so it becomes something useful that we can use. Otherwise, it's a box sitting there that's completely useless. Our knowledge has to lead us to action. We have to take it out of that box. We have to read it. We have to understand it. We have to put it together so that it can be used for something purposeful, not just something sitting there. The third thing that knowledge needs to do is produce results. If God's Word is living and active, as we read earlier, it's going to reproduce. Humans, animals, plants, we said this earlier, they all reproduce. So our knowledge of Jesus Christ needs to reproduce. Because if reproduction stops, what happens? Life ends. If things stop failing to reproduce, there'll be no more life. Are we actively seeking to allow our faith to reproduce in others what Christ has done for us? That's a hard question, isn't it, to ask ourselves. If we have all this information inside of us of what Christ has done in our lives, what we've seen him do in other people's lives, what we've seen him do in the life of this church, and we keep that to ourselves, what happens? That life is then cut off. There's no reproduction taking place. If I was a doctor and I found the cure for cancer, why would I want to keep that to myself? Why would I say, ha, I got this great cure for cancer, there'll never be cancer again, but I'm not telling anybody about it. What would be the point of that? Who would it benefit? Me. If you have the answer to eternal life, and you've experienced Jesus Christ, why do you want to keep that to yourself? Why do you want to keep that to yourself? You have the answer for eternal life. Our knowledge needs to lead to eternal significance. What we know needs to reproduce and lead to eternal significance. Otherwise, it's just up here. It hasn't done anything down here. It just stays here. Jesus says in Matthew 20:28 that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If the Word of God is transforming us into the likeness of Christ, then the results of that need to show, and that we are not here to be served, but to serve, because Christ gave his life as a ransom for many, not just us. He didn't come here just for us. He came for many. And sometimes we have to switch our thinking around because we think that we come to be served. Take care of me. I want what I want. And that's not what Jesus did. Look at the life of Christ, the one that we serve, the one that we love. What did he do? He came to serve. He's calling us to service. He's not saying, oh, come in on a Sunday, sit down and enjoy yourself and have a good time and then come back the following Sunday. He's saying, I have come to serve, not to be served. Is the Word of God transforming us into the likeness of Christ? Does the results of that need to show in what we're doing? As the knowledge of Jesus increases, our heart should be transforming into the likeness of God and desire those things that he desires. Warren Wiersbe had a book and he said, it's one thing to know doctrine and quite something else to know God. It is possible to grow in Bible knowledge and yet not grow in grace or in one's personal relationship with God. The test is love. We can have all kinds of knowledge, can't we? But we have to grow in God. There was a story I read, a man by the name of John Trent had written, and he led a young life group. And he got these kids to go to these camps that were really desperate kids, kids that really needed to hear the gospel. And the speaker's name was Bob Mitchell, and he was kind of telling everybody when everything needed to happen, the meals and everything. So he was coordinating with the cook. Now, this woman who was doing all the cooking for this camp just loved this. I mean, she just really felt like God was using her. But it was a lot of work for one person to be serving all these young men at this camp. So whenever Bob Mitchell would go to talk to this woman about the meals, the timing and everything, when she would come, he would stand up and let her sit down so she could rest while he would talk to her about what the plans were. This allowed her an opportunity to just rest and relax because she stood so long preparing these meals. There was a young boy who was part of this group. His name was Mark. He was a very troubled little boy. A lot of things going on in his life. But Mark was the only person that observed Bob Mitchell doing this for this cook. Mark had no interest in coming to this camp to hear about Jesus. He could have cared less. But when he saw that Jesus work through Bob Mitchell in this way, when he would go to hear Bob Mitchell speak, he'd listen. He observed what Bob Mitchell was doing with this woman, and he started to listen to what Bob Mitchell was saying. Later in the week, Mark asked Jesus to be his Savior. Mark said it wasn't because of the message, it wasn't what Bob said, but it was because of the love that he saw in Bob Mitchell. Mark said, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want to be one. Is God's Word causing you to take on that character of Christ? Is it showing itself in ways that it's reproducing itself? Are people seeking a relationship with Jesus because of what they see going on in your life? Do they see Jesus in you, or do they just hear words? Our words better support our actions. Otherwise, they're just words. I'm sure we've all come in contact with people. We hear words, but we don't see the actions, the fruit that comes out of those words. We can't have knowledge's sake. It has to live out in who we are. Because when it does, people like this young man, Mark, come to know who Jesus Christ is. The fourth thing is knowledge needs to equip us. Most of us here have gone to school or are going to school. Some have gone on to college, masters, doctorates, trade schools, continuing education classes. We're always acquiring knowledge. And why do we do that? We have jobs that technology keeps changing, laws change, all these different things keep changing. And so it's used to equip us so that we can do our jobs efficiently, effectively. It benefits our employers, it benefits our customers, it benefits our students, whatever. We need to be equipped. God's word is to equip us for the work that is set before us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us, all scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Knowledge of God's word is to equip us for the proper actions needed to continue his work. I certainly would never apply for a job as a brain surgeon. I pity the person that would be under my knife. Why? Because I have no knowledge of that. I would never attempt to use myself as a real estate agent because I don't have the credentials to sell a house. I can't do those kind of things. If all that is true, how can I share then who Jesus is if I don't equip myself to know who he is? Otherwise, he's just an acquaintance. It's like me trying to share intimately about President Bush. I can tell you everything that's in the news or in the newspaper, but do I know that man? Do I know who he is as a man? No, I don't. I've never gotten to know him. I can't share about who he is. The only way I can share about who President Bush is to get to know him personally. And when I do, then I have the ability to talk to people about who he really is. Then I'm equipped with the knowledge and the ability and the potential to affect change in somebody's life. I can share the heart of that person. As we look at our scripture today, the psalmist says throughout the verses that we read today, I will follow your righteous laws. Preserve my life according to your word. Teach me your laws. I will not forget your laws. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Is that your prayer? Is that the desire of your heart? Is the knowledge that you are gaining affecting your heart and it's not stopping right here? Is that knowledge seeking down into your heart, that it's equipping you for the work that God has before you? We all have to be equipped. God calls us to serve, but to serve we have to be equipped. I have a video I want to show you today, and some of you may have seen this before. It's called The Father's Love Letter. But as I play it, I really want you to listen to what he's saying. Allow it to just kind of soak into who you are. And just really pay attention to the words. I mean, there's some nice pictures with it or whatever, but really just listen to the words and see what this man's saying.
Experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life.
This life is an adventure, and so often we, on an adventure, we need help, don't we? Sometimes we need a lantern, a light that's going to show us, give us direction in those dark places that we don't know where we're going. This is God's Word to us. This represents His Word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's going to guide us and direct us in those places that we just can't see 2 inches in front of us. You ever visit a cavern and they turn the lights out, that complete blackness, but they turn on a single light and just illuminates. That's what God's Word does for us. This life is hard enough, isn't it? There's a lot of things that we have to deal with. But we have this wonderful book, this living and active book, the only book that you can say is living and active. It's going to guide us through this life and give us the direction that we need. Why walk around in circles in the dark? Why trip over stumps? Why trip over roots? Why trip over bushes? Why not have something that's going to light our pathway? I was reading a devotional by Mike Mason, and he shared a story about a young man, and he labeled this man tormented. This young man had been a Christian for years and had just completed 3 years at one of the best evangelical seminaries in the world. And when this young man spoke to Mike, he asked him this question. He said, "What is the gospel?" This man just had 3 years in seminary and wanted to know what the gospel was. And Mike said, "I didn't know what to tell him. He's already been stuffed with so much theology, I didn't know what to say to him. But all this knowledge that he gained did not keep him from being racked with guilt. Guilt about his weaknesses, the unfortunate people in the world, about the feebleness of his love." And Mike's question was, how many of us really know the gospel or live as we do? That is our challenge. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, through His Word, who Jesus Christ is, and allow that to impact our lives. Psalms 119:16 says, "I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." You know, so often I feel we take this for granted because we have it at our fingertips. It's there. We talk about it every Sunday. But is it really becoming a part of us? Is it hitting our hearts? Is it changing us? Is it transforming us into the likeness of who Jesus Christ is? Because if it's not transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, then it means absolutely nothing. It's just knowledge in our head that we can pull out whenever we want to. Is this transforming your life? And you know, there are times that I read this and I have to say, you know what, it's not transforming my life because I'm just allowing it to be stuff in my head. This is living and active. God's going to use this for incredible things in your life if you allow it to. It can't stop right here. Because if it stops here, it's not doing anybody any good. But once it hits here, so many wonderful things are going to come out of this. Attached to your notes today is a little handout about how to have a quiet, meaningful quiet time. And this is just something as a guide for those that may struggle with, how do I do it? I don't know how to do that. It's from Rick Warren's book, Ways to Study the Bible. I attach that because so many people, we want to live our lives as though people think we have it all together and we're doing everything the right Christian way. And so often we don't know what to do because we're afraid to ask, because we don't want to look silly. But the way we're going to become like Jesus Christ is only going to be through having time in that book. And I know I'm so busy, I don't have time. If you don't have time for this, then you better make time. Better find time. Because God's going to show Himself to you through this. Man, that's what I want. I want to see Jesus Christ. The only way I'm going to do that is through this word. Last week, in our backpack, we put in And this week, putting in a flashlight, because we have a dark path that we walk every day. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but we need something to illuminate that path. And that's what this is going to do. On your way out today, you'll be handed a magnet, something you put on your refrigerator as a reminder. And that magnet says knowledge. His word is our guide. Use it to light your way. Use God's word to light your way today. I'd invite the worship team to come and close our service for us.